CliffCentral.com.
Got to leave it there because it's time for This Is Us. So I'm going to let Bulelo go. I'm going to welcome Yatish. Yatish Nasi, nice to see you, Yatish. How are you? Happy New Year, hey, if you're nice still allowed. Are you still likewise. Allowed to say that?
Yeah, you're right. We're almost a month in. But I think February is the cutoff. I think absolutely. As long as you're in Jan, you're okay.
And here is Lebang Hosana. And this, of course, means This Is Us, which is what we get up to on a Tuesday morning. It's our chance to look at ourselves in the mirror. We were just talking about relationships, but South Africa as a country, we also need to look ourselves in the mirror. We need to see all the good, the bad, and the ugly, and that is what we're here for. And this morning, we're also going to be joined by an esteemed guest, someone who we've had on the show before. He was on the Burning Platform with me not so long ago here on CliffCentral.com. But this is an opportunity to really bring a heavyweight guest in. And welcome to another Tuesday edition of This Is Us, the first installment of 2022. Every week, me, Lebang, and Yatish take some time to find some solutions in making South Africa great by chatting with an array of leaders who are always willing to give of themselves for the greater good. Today's guest is absolutely no exception to that. Professor Bonang Mohale is the Chancellor of the University of the Free State. He's a professor of practice at the Joburg Business School. He's also at the College of Business and Economics, the chairman of both the Bidvest Group Limited and SBV Services, president of Business Unity South Africa, and the former CEO of Business Leadership South Africa, past president of the Black Management Forum. Welcome, sir, to the show. It's always good to see you. Bonang Mohale, how are you, sir? Hang on. He's coming in, and then he's going out. There he comes. But this internet seems to be a thing. There we are. We can hear you loud and clear. How are you, Bonang? No, he's disappeared.
Yeah, something's up today.
Something's up with the internet. Hi, Bonang. How are you?
Very well. It says my internet connection is stable. I'm at Kivitz Kroon in Pretoria, so I'm hoping that you guys
can. We can. Just keep it on like that, and then it should be fine. So we'll just hope you don't dip out too much, but that sounds and looks good. Bonang, it's great to have you on the show. There's so many things that we want to ask you this morning. Lebang and Yatish are here with me. Where do we begin? Lebang, do you want to start off with your questions for the first episode of This Is Us to Bonang Mohale?
Of course, I'm happy to do so. Morning, Bonang. Really excited to have you on the show this morning. As Gareth said, it's like the first installment of This Is Us that we're doing for the year. And after reading your book, Behold the Turtle, I guess my mind was just blown at so many different concepts and all the things that you covered, ultimately pertaining to just how we can make South Africa better. But the thing that stood out to me was the idea of living a life of purpose and meaning. It's a very common theme that you speak about quite often. But how would you say South Africans can strive to seek that in their daily lives? Because it's easy to say, but you know, having and living a life of purpose and meaning is something that we should ultimately all be doing. How would you say that that's something that we can get closer and closer towards as South Africans?
People are looking for, when they're looking for a job, unlike in our days when they were tasked and the motivation was money, they are choosing companies they want to work for. They are choosing the culture they want to work in. They are choosing the people they want to be surrounded with. And that, to me, is the very first of a life of purpose. Number two, it's about acknowledging that we are all beginning to die when we are silent about things that genuinely matter. Thirdly and lastly, and a life of purpose, it's about saying, at a personal level, do I have some sort of a compelling vision? Am I courageous? And can I live with integrity? Lebang, thank you.
Wow. Those are pretty good guidelines. Those are, I think, very good pieces of advice for just about anyone in South Africa. But let's just talk about the country as a whole, Bonang. And in your view, how did we as a nation fail to actually achieve deeply felt reconciliation, patriotism, social cohesion, all of those things that the president was trying to say the ANC are trying to do now, which I don't think anyone believes him when he says that now. But 27 years on, how did we screw this up? Because we had everything organized. We had everything sorted out around us. We had all the goodwill in the world. We had people who came together. We had leadership we could look up to at that stage. Where did we screw it up?
Number one, I think the word is called greed. By the people who call themselves our leaders. It manifests as state capture, as demonstrated by the Chief Justice Raymond Zondo's report number one of three,
right,
into state capture. I think more than anything else, when you understand that people are not happy to be just financially independent and secure, they want to be first black zillionaire, then you'll understand what really drives them. There are four things that drive state, because state capture is much more than corruption. One, it's about creating a shadow where the decision making is no longer in cabinet and in the National Assembly. Number two, it's about repurposing the more than 740 state-owned enterprises and state-owned and replacing them with bad what they're doing. And you replace them with people whose only claim to fame is aiding and abetting state capture. Lastly, of course, you're not happy stealing the money. Now you want to go to the fire hydrant and drink from there. You want to capture national treasury because it owns two institutions. It owns the biggest asset manager in the continent, the PIC 2010, 2 trillion South African rand assets under management. Thanks.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, you talk about, instead of just drinking from the tap, you go to the fire hydrant. And people do, they just get they get greedy, you know? And I think that's a hard thing for us to actually face up to, is that there are people, and I don't think it's a South African quality necessarily, because you see greed all over the world. But that greed has just led us in such a dangerous direction. And Yatish, I know that for you, and for many people in business in South Africa and in every industry, you know, Bonang is one of those people who just speaks through all the clutter, and he's able to address these things head on. He's very credible. People love hearing from him. What are your main takeouts? And I don't know if you've read his book yet, the book that that we were just talking about a moment ago. But if you have, I mean, what do you think is missing when it comes to people speaking like Bonang do? And why can't more of us have the courage of our convictions and speak out like he does?
Yeah, I mean, I think I haven't read the book, to be honest, Bonang. It's certainly on the list of starting books of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But just from, I think, from the sort of notes that have been passed around this week, just in terms of getting up to speed with some of the core concepts of the book, I think, you know, the thing, Bonang, that we've often spoken about here is a lot of the things you've just mentioned around state capture, around, you know, sort of what's happening with the treasury and our political system, et cetera. You know, one of the things we've really tried to think about at This Is Us is we've said at a certain layer, it's really hard for people to affect that, right? I mean, there's the political process, which, again, we had a debate that people don't understand it well enough. But outside the political process, in your day to day, I think most South Africans feel quite helpless to all of those kind of forces going on. They feel like, I can't really make an impact. I can't really do anything. We're like kind of victims of really poor leadership. And I guess, you know, where we've been thinking about it is to go, you know, but on outside of the political system, outside of that poor leadership, how does the average South African in their daily goings on create the momentum and show and demonstrate the leadership that's required? Because I don't think we're going to get it from there. I think let's resign ourselves to that fact.
Yeah.
So how does business show a greater sense of leadership? Because I think, you know, there's a void there and a gap there. And then how do average South Africans show their distrust and their disdain in a positive way, right? How do they use that energy to do the right things?
So Yatish, let's puncture some inflated fallacies. It's not useful to say, but the rest of the world is corrupt, it also steals. Development, 48 years of apartheid. The only way as a people that we can have the moral high ground, that Kgolisahla Nelson Mandela can continue to be the icon that he is. And then lastly, that Kgolisahla Nelson Mandela's dream, the South Africa that all of us have been dreaming and praying for, we should hold them to higher standards, unequivocally, unashamedly.
I think we keep losing Bonang. It's like the worst internet connection. Trying to figure
out. Yeah, today.
Yeah, it's not great. And Lebang was having trouble earlier as well. So anyway, I mean, when we get him back,
more than anything else. Therefore, if politics determines economics, it means the people who are our political leaders must help us to improve the quality of lives of the majority of our people. Every election, the ANC says, a better life for all. Actually, in real sense, 27 years into democracy, the rich have become richer, the poor have become much poorer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think let's just accept that. So how do we effect that at a personal level? Number one is to realize that the reason why we say our constitution is the best in the world is contained in the preamble of our constitution. It starts by also says recognizing the injustices. It then implores and mandates you and I to fix these past injustices. Lastly,
seems like we lost him. All right, this is very frustrating. I wanted to talk to him specifically because he has so many solutions in his book when it comes to like practical stuff we can do, especially around education. And you know, Bonang talks about higher learning, so tertiary institutions, secondary institutions, what we can do there. And obviously, we hold the world record, he mentioned it just now, for being the most unequal country in the world. That's the Gini coefficient, famously. So, you know, this is where we need leadership, and this is also where we need to be able to hear from the people who are brave enough to say what they are saying in the case of Bonang Mohale. Bonang, we're going to try and get you back on there. I don't know, your internet seems to be very patchy on your side.
Yeah, I blame Kivit Scroll. Is this better now?
So, seems like it, but you dip in and out from time to time. So I wanted to ask you quickly.
Yeah, for which I profusely apologize.
So let me just fault.
Share some good news before we lose each other permanently.
Mm-hmm.
So the good news, and again, it goes to Itashi's point, is that, you know, when all of us have fought hard and we have forced these politicians to deliver basic services to us, mm-hmm. look at the things that we are able to achieve. SAA now is semi-privatized.
Yeah.
Number two, municipalities can procure electricity from sources other than Eskom.
Right.
Number three, even private companies can self-generate their own electricity up to 100 megawatts. And then lastly, Devonport is the third from the bottom, but now Transnet accepts that through public-private partnerships is the only way that we can fix it.
Right.
But some of these things that are going wrong, Yitash, that we need to fix. Number one is to ensure that we narrow this growing inequality. Two, racism is at an all-time high. At a personal level, we should stop being racist.
Absolutely. I think anyone's going to disagree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Leonie's back.
The power. Number two, when you inherently believe that you are superior, and number three, you use that power to exclude, then you call you a racist.
Yeah.
Number three, things that we need to, you know, public education has collapsed. Four, that public health continue to fail the poor and the vulnerable. Number five, that crucial infrastructure is lying in decay. Mm. I mean, we used to have trains, now the stations are under.
Mm.
Lastly, lawlessness has now become an epidemic. Sislibang?
Yeah, Lebang, I know you got some questions. Can I just quickly jump in on the education thing, Bonang, because this is something you write about in your book too. What can we do to improve education? You just mentioned public education has failed completely. So what can parents do to make sure that their kids have the best chance in a country where we can't rely on public education?
And to add
you
to that,
know
well,
government, yes, Bonang, you know sorry. What go ahead, Itashi.
Sorry, I was saying, just to add to that, there was a comment in the group, which I think is important in terms of this question around education. It's Michael who says, our leaders of today are children who suffered in poverty. These children are imprinted with this condition and become adults without being able to cope emotionally. So it manifests as greed. And I think that's quite important rolled into education. I mean, if you look at, even if you take what happens with like Brazilian football players, right, and how they completely sort of hit a wall through their career because they actually don't have the grounding to deal with or the educational base to deal with that position of leadership when they get there. You know, so the education problem is vital because arguably it's what's also creating the leadership gap later on. You know, we're never going to get great leaders if we can't sort out the base.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, let me combine your two comments because they are so profound. You know, poverty still has primarily a black and feminine face. 27 years into democracy, that should not be acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, all of it in eradicating the legacy of apartheid. Lastly, in education, where government fails, that's where one, post offices are failing, couriers are born.
Mm-hmm.
Private security thrives because SAPS is not very useful.
Yeah.
Discovery Medical Aid is the best, is private healthcare, because when you go to public healthcare, that's where you go to die. Lastly, I think at an individual level, as parents, let's just make sure that we work hard, we make those sacrifices, because progress is when our children have a life which on a composite basis is substantially better than the one that we lead. Lebang?
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. I think another thing that kind of stuck out for me in the book, and we spoke a little bit about this earlier, is about some terms that a lot of our leaders will just use to, you know, sort of shy away from the real issue. And something that you cover in your book is the concept of the new normal versus the better normal. And I think post COVID-19, with all the effects of what happened and the pandemic really just shaking the world up, how can we, you know, use the better normal, the better tomorrow? I hope I was heard.
I think we got most of
so
that.
So the notion of a better normal, if you can hear me.
Yes.
Meliban, because you hit the nail on the head. It's about accepting that there were three things that we wanted to deal with when we were hit by this pandemic. One, of course, is save lives. Number two is save livelihoods, because we knew we will kill 10 times more people because of hunger and starvation, actually killed by the virus. Lastly, we wanted to break the link between coronavirus cases. And the only way you can do that is through vaccinations, because 98% of the people that are hospitalized are those that are not vaccinated. But you see, where we are, we need to accept that the target that we were set by.
Yeah, guys, I'm getting a bunch of messages here about just how frustrating this is, because we're desperate to hear what Bonang is saying here, but the connection is really bad. I'm going to call this short, because otherwise we're going to frustrate and drive people crazy. But I do think there's some excellent comments that are being made here. Bonang, I thank you so much. I'm going to see if I can bring you back just to thank you here, but it's a pleasure to have you on. I'm sorry the internet connection's so bad that we couldn't hear everything that you were trying to tell us. And you are one of those people we look to as a wise sage. I would encourage people, if you were frustrated by the connection this morning, to at least read the amazing book that Bonang has written. And we'll give you all the details for that on the site. So we'll put that on cliffcentral.com. But thank you very much, Bonang Mohale. I'm sorry we have to call it short this morning, but this is very frustrating.
Cliff, my brother, I promise to come person in the studio when
you.
It is safer to do so.
We will. Might we be will, better. We will arrange that. Thank
Please.
You so much. Thank you. Thank you.
Please.
Thank you.
Bonang
thank
Mohale. You. All right. Listen, guys, I'm sorry. This is too annoying. I mean, you know, we got people saying here, listen, it's just frustrating as hell. Connection is really terrible. It's impossible to hear what he's saying. So let's just leave it for this morning. That is This Is Us. I'm sorry. For our first episode, we tried to get you a great guest. We did. Unfortunately, the internet has not played games and not played ball with us this morning. So we're going to call it quits at this point. That is the first episode, but not the last, of This Is Us. We'll pick it up in conversation next week, Tuesday. Make sure you join us for a whole lot more. Cheers, everybody. See you tomorrow, 6 o'clock.
Bye.
Cheers, everyone. CliffCentral.com.